The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham.
On the show this time, I'd like to welcome Bonnie Cushman. Bonnie is a program manager for the Regional Water Providers Consortium. Hey there, Bonnie. Welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Hello.
So let's talk about the Regional Water Providers Consortium. What are you guys? What do you do?
So we are 26 water providers throughout the Portland metro area. So think down south, city of Wilsonville, all the way up to city of Portland, and then out east, city of Sandy, all the way out to west. It would be city of Hillsborough or city of Cornelius.
That's a big region.
It is.
I mean, we have a lot of water here. So you guys are busy.
We do, and we are. Yeah.
What do you hope to do? Is it like an education? Are you trying to teach people how to conserve water and use water wisely?
That's definitely part of what we do. So we focus on water conservation. Part of that for water providers is really looking at water supply planning and making sure that we have water systems that are resilient and that we can plan for the water that we've got out 50 years into the future. And then part of what we're doing is really making sure that our systems are resilient, again, and making sure that people know how to conserve water and be prepared for emergencies. So we do a lot of projects focused on trying to make sure that we have economies of scale and save our ratepayers money. So anytime we can work together, we really try to do that.
Now that summer has officially ended, even though it's still pretty nice weather here in our area, even into October, it's beautiful here, but people are kind of done watering their lawns, right? So what should we be thinking about now going into the winter months as far as water conservation goes?
Yeah, so in the fall, our plants go into dormancy. So even when it's dry and hot, we actually don't need to water them as much. So that's just kind of a good secret tip about saving water. And then as our watering season ends, we want to make sure that we've shut down our irrigation systems and insulated them. So remember, over the last couple of years, especially this last year, we had an ice storm that lasted for a long time. And one of the casualties was really broken pipes. So when you're done watering for the season, make sure that you turn off your irrigation system if you have one. It's great to blow all of the water out. That's usually something that you're going to want to bring a professional in to do for you. And then with your irrigation assembly, you want to make sure that you've got some insulation. Even bubble wrap is great around that. And then go around to your hose bibs and put those little styrofoam pieces around them. Make sure that you empty out your hoses and bring them into your garage or basement for the winter. Just generally making sure that your home is ready for the winter months.
I'm always amazed that those little styrofoam things are effective. Because
right?
They just seem so flimsy. Like, really? This is going to prevent this from freezing?
Yeah. But, you know, one of the things that I learned from this last winter was that so many people, as they turned on the water in the spring, all of a sudden they found that they had a leak. And nine times out of ten, it was because they hadn't put that insulation, which cost, I think, like a dollar maybe at your hardware store. So 5 minutes to put on, maybe. And then, a dollar. So definitely well worth your time.
Yeah. So I'm looking at your website right now, and one of the pages said you should start with water. What does that mean?
Right. Well, that's when we're talking about emergency preparedness. And one of the things that we have to keep in mind when we're preparing for emergencies is that people can only live for a couple of days without water, but we can live for weeks without food. So we really recommend, if you're starting to prepare for emergencies, start with water and then move on to food and other planning aspects.
How much water should we have on hand?
Yeah, that's a great question. So you want 1 gallon per person per day for about 14 days. So about 2 weeks worth of water for each person in your family. And that includes your pets as well. So they don't necessarily need a gallon of water. You actually know how much you give them each day. So think about that for 14 days. And then have a little bit of water for, if they need to be washed or if they get injured in an emergency.
And you say we can last a lot longer without food. That's kind of surprising. Do people find that surprising? It seems like I'm going to starve to death. You're going to dry out first.
Well, I think for most people, they feel like getting dehydrated is something that they're familiar with, right? So I think we can all remember a time when that is the case. And it's really important in an emergency to make sure that you're drinking enough water, because you're having to do things that you haven't done before. And, depending on the time of year, it might be hot outside. So you want to make sure that you have enough water to stay healthy so that you can take care of yourself.
What kind of emergencies are we talking about? What's happening?
Yeah.
You know something we don't know?
Oh, gosh, no. So when we're thinking about this, we know now that we live in earthquake country. And so there's a possibility of a large scale earthquake happening. And so that's the scope. That's why we're saying store 14 gallons, because we're thinking that it's going to take about 14 days or 2 weeks for help to arrive to our region after a big earthquake. So that's the big part that we're preparing for. But of course, over the last couple of years, we've lived through wildfires and winter storms and lots of little smaller emergencies. So we really want to make sure that you have water on hand wherever you are during an emergency. And so that could be at home or school or work or even in your car.
Oh, in your car. That's a great tip. Where do you recommend storing all this water? That's a lot of water. Especially if you have a big family.
It is. And yes, especially if you have a big family. So we recommend that you think creatively about your own space. You know it best. So think about under that bed, in the back of the closet where other things go to get lost, in the back of your cabinet. Things like slim 5 gallon jerry cans fit well under things like couches or beds, that kind of thing. Or you can use something like a 2 liter soda bottle. They're nice and sturdy, they're inexpensive, and they fit really well in the back of those cabinets and closets that I was just talking about.
Yeah. And I bought a whole bunch of water at Costco, and it was like $5.
Yep.
for 30 bottles of water or something. It's insanely cheap and just nice to have on hand.
Yeah, always nice to have on hand. One tip that I will say is that those individual soda bottle or water bottles, I should say, the plastic can be rather flimsy.
Right.
And so if you're going to store a pallet, you're not going to store a pallet.
But you know what question is popping into my mind? Because, and maybe you want to touch on, but I have some water storage, but I feel like now my water's been stored in there for like years. Am I supposed to dump that out and restore it? Or maybe you're getting to that with these flimsy water bottles.
Yeah.
Do they go bad? Is that a myth?
That's a great question.
Should I kind of I'll restate my Costco water supply and then we'll go from there. Mm-hmm. And one good thing is that I bought a whole bunch of water at Costco, right? It's really cheap. It's like $5 for 30 bottles or something. But they're those little plastic bottles. You probably want to try to avoid having too much plastic around and store it in a different sort of way. Would you recommend?
Well, actually, those type of containers are great for having water, especially small amounts to drink. But remember, in an emergency, you're storing water for drinking, but you're also for hygiene and for cooking as well. But one tip that I'll share about those individual bottles is that they tend to be flimsy plastic. And so if you have that, you want to make sure that you're storing them maybe in a Rubbermaid tote, if you're storing them in those closets or that kind of thing, because if that breaks, we don't want that to damage your home, right?
Yeah.
So that's one thing to think about.
How often, if we are storing water in a container of some sort, how often should we change that out? Does water go bad?
Water doesn't technically go bad. So with bottled water, we recommend using the best by date as a time to switch it out. And then if you're storing it in your own container, we recommend about every 6 months to a year. But again, water doesn't go bad. So if an emergency happens and you've been storing bottled water in your garage, like I have, for 5 years, it's okay.
Yeah.
Use it. It just may not taste as fresh as it would normally, but in an emergency, you're going to be very thankful that you've got that water, and definitely don't worry about using it. If you have it in your own container and it's been there for longer, one recommendation that we have is treat any water that you're concerned about just to make sure that it's nice and safe and healthy for you to use.
Yeah, good tip. We're talking today with Bonnie Cushman, Program Manager for the Regional Water Providers Consortium. So there's one thing that was sent to me when I was preparing for this interview, that you have a publicalerts.org. Tell me about that. What is that?
Yeah, so we're actually a partner of the organization that does publicalerts.org, but it's a great website. It's full of fantastic information about how to get prepared for emergencies. And it's all information that's really relevant to our region. And the other thing about publicalerts.org is it's where you can sign up to get alerts about emergencies that are happening in your area. So you do have to sign up for it. It doesn't automatically come to you. And if you live and work in a different county, you're going to want to do it for each county that you're in, you spend a lot of time in. And what that does is your first responders, if there's an emergency nearby to you, they're going to send you a text message or an email or a phone call to let you know, hey, there's an emergency and here's what you need to do to stay safe.
And while we're talking about websites, how about giving out your website where there's just so much information?
Wow. Yeah, all things water is regionalh2o.org.
Where does our water come from here?
That's a great question. So we have five main drinking
water sources. Mostly comes from the sky. Gotta get that little jab in there, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. comes from the sky, and then we have five main drinking water sources in the Portland metro region.
So it's not always, we get our water here in Portland from the Bull Run, is that correct?
Portland does, yeah, yeah. But there's other water sources. There's the Clackamas River, there's the Trask-Tualatin River, there's the Willamette, as well as groundwater. And then there's a ton of different secondary and other sources throughout the region.
So does the snow on Mount Hood, is that something we drink here in Portland?
Not necessarily. So Portland's more of a rain-fed system. It's not to say that there isn't snow that contributes to that, but it's more of a rain-fed system. Okay. There are other systems that are more snow-fed in the region.
And as we head into the fall and winter months, I don't want to say that yet because I don't want summer to end, but oh well. But let's talk about some tips for emergency preparedness as we head into these months. Do you have some tips for us?
Yeah. As I mentioned, you definitely want to make sure that you're storing enough water for all the members of your family, including pets. And if you have somebody in your family who's pregnant, you want to have a little bit more than the 1 gallon per person per day. So that's something to keep in mind. 14 gallons is a lot of water. And so we recommend that you take some time to build up that supply. So you don't have to do it all at once. And that's actually one of the things that people say to me is like, I know I should store water. I just haven't gotten started yet. And so it's like, well, pick up a gallon this week or order a container when you do your next online order.
Yeah. I like the idea that you said there's some flat ones that you can store under a couch or the bed or something like that too, right?
Yeah, and people are so creative. I love going into small apartments and seeing people be really creative with where and how they're storing their water.
Besides water, how else should we be prepared?
Well, you definitely want to make sure that you're storing food, and what you're looking for is really shelf-stable food. So you're going to be having to cook and clean and that kind of thing for up to 2 weeks. So make sure you have a way to cook your food. Another tip is really to store household bleach. You're going to need a way to clean things up and sanitize them. And in a pinch, you can actually use bleach to treat water.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
You've got all kinds of tips.
The other thing I'll throw out there, which is something that a lot of times people don't want to necessarily talk about, but we're all going to have to go to the bathroom. And so if you have a toilet plan, that's really a good thing to do. And that'll also keep our water sources nice and clean during an emergency. So if you look up the twin bucket system, that's the search term you're going to want to look at. There's great information on the Regional Disaster Preparedness Organization on how you can set that up.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good tip. What about a toilet leak? Like I hear that's could be a big problem.
Oh, Oh, yeah. Toilet leaks can definitely be a big problem. Toilets are one of the number one culprits for household leaks. And so we really recommend checking your toilets twice a year, at least for leaks. That could be as easy as using a dye tablet from your water provider. Or I actually like to do it with food coloring. And that's something that you can do with kids as well. So it's a fun activity. Pull the lid off of the tank and put 10 drops of food coloring in the tank, and then you wait 10 minutes or 20 minutes is really the best time. And then you come back for the big reveal and see if there's water or dye in the bowl.
Wow. Okay. I've never even thought of that before. That's a good tip. I'm going to try it. Is there a particular color that's best?
I love that question. I always say stay away from red because it can be a little scary to look in the in the bowl and see that.
But I bet kids love to help do something like that.
Yep. Purple is my daughter's favorite color.
Excellent. So you guys have prepared some emergency preparedness how-to videos. Tell me about those.
We sure have. So we have videos that are focused on storing water in an emergency, either buying bottled water or in your own container. We also teach people step-by-step, how do you get water out of your water heater? Because your water heater can actually be a great source for emergency water. They have 30 to 80 gallons of water. So great source, but if you have to know how to get it out of there. And then again, as I mentioned earlier, if you have any concerns about the quality of water, you want to be able to treat it. And so we have information about four different ways to treat water to make it safe to drink.
Excellent.
And one other thing that I'll mention about that is that we have those videos and print pieces in English, but we also have the videos in 11 languages and the print pieces in a total of 18 languages. So we're really trying to make sure that all of our community know about this important information and can access it in a way that they can easily understand.
Yeah. And they're all on the website?
They are all on the website. Mm-hmm.
Which is, tell me again.
Yeah, it's regionalh2o.org.
Excellent. And also, I'm looking at the website. I knew where it was. There's some winterization tips. Talk to me about how we can winterize.
So one of the important things to do is to use one of those styrofoam pieces to go over your hose bib outside, your faucet outside. You want to make sure that you winterize your sprinkler system by taking all of the water out of the system and then putting some insulation around the assembly lines and that kind of thing. Also in your home, you can do things like making sure that any pipes that are going to the outside have some insulation. You can get that at your local hardware store.
Because without a doubt, we're going to have a freeze this winter.
Well, now that you've said it, you probably won't. Ah! But winter was definitely a really long, hard freeze. And so I know that as I'm looking at winter, I'm getting ready for it.
Yeah. Not only was it a long freeze, but it was windy and blew a lot of trees down. So a lot of people were without power.
Yep.
And we all know what that can do to your house, right?
Yeah.
No power. Everything's freezing.
Yep. Yeah. No, it was a very hard time for a lot of people around the region.
And even some well systems have to have power, right, to operate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So looking at, alternate power sources is definitely part of an emergency plan, So there's the preparing for how do I stay in place? And then there's how do I go somewhere if I need to? What do I need to bring? So those are emergency preparedness pieces. And then, one tip that we also say is make sure that you have an out-of-state or out-of-region contact. So you probably have loved ones and friends all across the U.S. And so you want to make sure that if people are concerned about you, who's your point person to be able to let them know that you're okay?
Yeah. And often I see things on Facebook where people say, marked safe from this earthquake or something like that. That's,
right.
That's a great way to do it, too.
Yeah, if you have cell phone access, So one of the things to really look at is make sure that you have somebody in your contacts that you can text and say that you're okay.
Can you talk to me about, you have a story about how you got into being so involved in emergency preparedness. Tell me about that.
Yeah, when I was nine, my family was flooded out of our home. So we had 4 feet of water and 2 feet of mud in our home. Wow. And so, yeah, it forever changed our lives. And so emergency preparedness is definitely something that's near and dear to my heart. I have family members that have lost homes to wildfires as well. And so anything I can do to help try and make sure that our community is well prepared for whatever comes at us is something that I'm interested in spending time. And I'm so fortunate to be able to have this time and get paid for it to have this as part of my life.
Are there things that you do in your family that you would recommend 100% to other people? That you could not ever have enough of, but water.
Water, for sure. Yeah. So what's funny is that people tell me, I know I should be preparing for emergencies, but I don't. I'll get to it. And then they also say, well, I know you're so prepared, so we'll just come to your house.
Oh,
I'm like, oh, gosh. So, yeah. So one of the things that I love to do is just help people with that. So what kind of containers do you need? How can we think creatively about your space and how to store them? You know, do you have something to treat water? And just kind of walking people through it. Yeah. It seems scary and overwhelming, but the great thing about preparing for emergencies is that if you just take one step and do it one at a time, then you can really get through it. I started doing it, quite frankly, when our daughter was born, and all of a sudden I was responsible for somebody else than me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh. So we put together a list of what we needed to do, and we just ticked through it over a year. It took us about a year, year and a half to do it.
That's a great way to get your mind around it, because it's not something you have to do all at once.
No, absolutely. And The American Red Cross actually has a great calendar that it takes you through like what to do preparedness wise, a week at a time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is eye opening for me, because I think, oh, if I can't do it all now, I'm not going to do it at all.
Right. It's so overwhelming.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It is very overwhelming. Let's talk about some more water conservation, especially like how can we conserve water indoors now that we don't have to worry about conserving water outdoors as much because we're not watering our plants.
Yeah. So the number one place that we should all start for water conservation is in the bathroom. That's where we use the most water when we're showering, going to the bathroom, brushing our teeth, that kind of thing. Toilets are the number one water user, and so making sure that your toilet is not leaking is one of the best things you can do. If you have an older toilet, it might use 3 to 5 gallons per flush, and so you want to make sure if you're changing out your toilet, go for a WaterSense labeled toilet. It's like Energy Star, but for water, and it'll use much less water, and they're guaranteed to work well. So they're not going to be like those low flow toilets that everybody's like, oh God, from the 80s. Yeah.
Yeah. And turn off the water when you're washing dishes.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And brushing your teeth.
Yeah. So in the kitchen, water flows about 2.5 gallons per minute. And so, yeah, turning the water off when you're not using it, using a tub to rinse water or rinse dishes is a great alternative as well. Teaching family members who are just starting to brush their teeth and that kind of thing, the importance of turning water off when they're not using it is always important.
Yeah, great tips. So, Bonnie, tell me what's in the future for the Regional Water Providers Consortium?
Well, we're going to continue to do the things that we've been working on. We do supply planning to make sure that we're really thinking about the future of water supply. We make sure that we're teaching people about how to use water wisely inside and out. And then we're also really making sure that our water systems are resilient and making sure that we're working together and sharing resources and information with our peers. We do emergency water drills, so we really practice on how do we prepare to get water to people in the public if there was an emergency. So all sorts of different fun things. You can read about our projects on our website as well.
Yeah, give out that website because there's so much information on there.
Yeah, we have about 150 pages worth of information about all things water. So regionalh2o.org.
Excellent. This has been fun and so informative. Thank you, Bonnie.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
We've been talking today with Bonnie Cushman, Program Manager for Regional Water Providers Consortium.
If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.